fighting dizziness this morning. Lord, we just pray for none of that to affect your word. Amen. So, Daniel chapter 9. Whoops, the little clicker's not clicking. Wake up, little clicker. Yeah? No? Yes, it is, if that was me. I'll test with the next one. Yes, that was me. I'm fine. That's good. Gosh. Technology. Yes. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus. Now, Ahasuerus scores a mention in the beginning of Esther. Okay? Of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. So I mention Esther because you have a background there. Daniel studied and heeded the sacred writings. We are blessed to have the sacred word of God before us. Paul writes in Timothy, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So what you need for completeness is the word of God. We need doctrine. The world has imprinted its doctrine through the media and the community into the minds of people. It has doctrines like marriage, law, entertainment, money. And all of these things need the correction of God's word, God's holy word. Reproof or reprimand is vital, especially when no one is watching. We need the reproof of the word of God. Correction is what we pray for. So many times we have no idea of God's plan for our lives. So we ask for him to shut doors and open doors so that we can walk correctly. Our God delights in righteousness. So we must continually want his instruction for our life. People must read the Bible to know the heart of God. You have to read the Bible. Daniel had known about Jeremiah's prophecy. He would have known the terrible batterings that this prophet endured just to speak out the word of God. Jeremiah was hated for preaching repentance and judgment on Judah. He had prophesied the fall of Jerusalem. And no one likes the negative prophecy. Jerusalem is going to fall. So he was dumped in a mud pit as punishment. There it is in Jeremiah. So they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the court of the prison. And they let Jeremiah down with ropes. And in the dungeon, there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Was their response when he spoke out the word of God to them. But Daniel discerned that this man spoke out the word of God. Daniel had that discernment. And the opinion of the majority did not overrule that discernment, which was given to him from God. So the majority doesn't outrank the word of God. The prophecy. Again in Jeremiah, then it will come to pass when 70 years are completed that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, says the Lord, and I will make it a perpetual desolation. We have prophecies about end times that God has given to us, and some of us are getting prepared for all of that. Sometimes these prophecies are hard to accept. But if we treasure the word of God, we get ready. Revelation 19, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. Back to Daniel. Then I set my face towards the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his covenants, his commandments. We do not repent or give thanks to God enough. I suggested to you a prayer every night, just before you shut your eyes. Thank God for something. Because we don't thank God enough. Repent of something, because we don't look at ourselves and think, what have I done wrong? How can a relationship develop if you don't have these things? And I said the third thing was a request. Ask God for something. Now there's a fourth thing. Ask God if there's something he wants you to do tomorrow. Ask him if there's some little thing. We plant mustard seeds, people, so it's not a huge thing. Some mustard seeds, something, some drop there of his word. Some small thing, the smile at the neighbour, the kind deed, whatever. Four things then. Thank God. Repent. One request for yourself. And one request. What do you want, Lord, me to do tomorrow? Just something that I can do for you to show you that I love you. Now when Daniel comes and requests, he comes with humility. He comes with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. And his humility is seen in how he addresses God. O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. Our God is not an equal, and certainly not our slave. And many of the world think that, you know, because God didn't grant my wishes, I don't want to believe in him. My goodness. God is not a slave. Have we discovered that God keeps his word and his mercy? You know, how we address God comes out of our experience. We need to walk with God so that we experience his personality. When we thank God each night for something, we refresh our title of him for what he's given you last week. You may address him as my healer, my provider, my comforter, my joy, my protector. Are there any other titles? Call them out. How would you address God for what he's done to you?
My Savior.
My?
Savior.
My Savior. Yes.
Shepherd.
My Shepherd. Yeah. Yeah.
My Hope.
My Hope. Yes. The only Hope. My Hope. Yes.
My Truth.
My Truth. Yes. The one who said, I am the Truth. It's nothing else. My Truth. Yes. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. You know, as we confess, we will recall things that we have done wrong. We commit iniquity. Sometimes we do it as just part of the course of our day. Sometimes it's rebellion. That is, we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, don't do it, and we still do it. We know the laws of God, and we ignore them. We depart from God's precepts and judgments. God has placed in our life the Bible, teachers, books, YouTube sermons, worship songs that bring us into his presence, and we have not heeded them. We represent our families, our community group, our street, our neighbours, our country before God, and we need to repent God says in Isaiah, "But on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word." Who trembles at my word. Who trembles at my word. People, do you understand that the Bible that we have is treasure? It is sacred treasure. It holds the mind of God and the heart of God. If you want a relationship with God, you want to read it. You want to eat it. You want it there in your mind over and over and over again. On this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. Far too often we come to God with not a thought of our own unworthiness. The person who is contrite regrets the wrong he's done. They're ashamed of their sin. Daniel comes to God fully aware of his unworthiness. I need to repent of my blindness and thank God for so many things that I've taken for granted. Freedom. Freedom in Australia. Prosperity. We have food in abundance. Shelter. Health. Family. Safety. Friends. Comfort. Education. The Bible. I need to thank God over and over for these things. Oh Lord, righteousness belongs to you. But to us shame of face, as it is this day. To the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off in all the countries to which you have driven them because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. People, are we ashamed of our unfaithfulness to God? So many times I've been silent instead of speaking because I didn't want to offend. So many times I have not prayed. So many times I've put comfort, money, food, fun, jokes, entertainment ahead of God. I would not let someone curse my wife, but I've let them use the name Jesus as a swear word. Same Hebrew word, mal, for unfaithfulness, is used when adultery happens in marriage. Loyalty to God needs to be 100%, as it is in marriage. And we are given marriage to understand our relationship with God. God is the husband of Israel. Christ is the bridegroom of the church. And when we desecrate marriage, we desecrate the picture that he has given us. There are two words to describe the falling away and the unfaithfulness of Israel and Judah. Israel was faithless. She had lost her first love and turned to foreign gods. And we saw that when Jezebel was married into the royal family and how she brought and imported worship for Baal. Judah was unfaithful. She knew the truth and pretended to follow God. Judah had seen Israel fall and not learned the lesson. Jeremiah again, "Then I saw that for all the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a certificate of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but went and played the harlot also. So it came to pass, through her casual harlotry, that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and trees. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah has not turned to me with her whole heart, but in pretense, says the Lord." Then the Lord said, "Backsliding Israel has shown herself more righteous than treacherous Judah." Oh, my people, the church of the Western world has pretended to be Christian. But getting down to me and you, have we pretended to be Christian and backslid? In Australia, in churches in Australia, in Christian families in Australia, in our own lives, we have seen people drift away and refuse to repent. Daniel repents of the unfaithfulness of this people, and we need to repent for our nation. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. You know, when we relate to God, there is a constant awareness of our sin. This is a good thing. We need this awareness to appreciate the mercy and forgiveness of God. If you're not aware that you've sinned, the mercy of God means nothing. It's trite. What on earth? Paul bursts out in Romans with this. He says, I find then a law that evil is present in me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing into captivity the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. This is Paul. This is Paul, one of the greatest apostles there in the Bible, who was imprisoned for the gospel's sake, who was killed for the gospel's sake. And this is his own personal struggle. And this is my struggle and your struggle. But the struggle is there, and the line there. I thank God. Who will deliver me? Jesus Christ. He will deliver me. We cannot be in warfare if we do not see the failings of our own flesh, let alone the failings of the community around. If we don't see our own flesh failing, we cannot be in warfare. And we are in warfare. Paul states it blatantly, and in the end, and having done all, still stand. People, if we don't do all, what are we? We are just drifting along with the world. At the same time, we cannot really worship God without seeing what we've been rescued from. As Daniel says, we have rebelled against him and he still forgives us. Mercy and forgiveness belong to God. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws which he set before us by his servants and the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. People will not accept that God punishes sin, that the natural result of sin is death. And in this life, it is the death to understanding the fellowship of God. Written in the law of Moses, God has poured out on us these things. And Australia, what has he poured out on Australia? Because of the sins of our nation. Paul tells us that the laws are a guide so that we stay on the right path. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. We have a guide. We have a roadmap, people. We know where we're going and we know the path that we're meant to follow. And the law is there. It is a guide to get there. Look at the Ten Commandments. And it's down there on your bulletin, good old Naomi. Discard all other gods that we've placed before Jesus, our God. Our culture has planted seeds to worship property, entertainment, health, education, community, all of these things have been placed before God. Discard any idols that you've made that push God into second or worst place. Hobbies are usually encouraged, aren't they? Yeah, it's good to have a hobby, but not if they take first place. Treat the name of Jesus as holy. Understand and appreciate that our Heavenly Father created the Sabbath. Why? Because he wants time with family. He wants time. He wants you to dedicate time with him. He knows we've got other things to do. We've got to earn a living and all of this stuff. But he wants special time. He wants one-to-one time. People, you and I know that in relationships, you have relationships which are, you know, people casually you know and people who are close. And I was thinking yesterday, you know, even my family don't know me really. There have been so many little bits of me that are here, there and everywhere. But if you want a relationship with the living God, you open up everything. And you want time for that. Understand that family is extremely important. How else do you understand the fatherhood of God? Human life is precious, especially the innocent unborn babies. Marriage is sacred, so abandon entertainment that seeks to normalize adultery. Don't support it financially. Theft creates insecurity in the community. Honesty is vital. God is the truth. So look for the part truths in the media and stand against them. Be satisfied with everything that God has given you. Advertisements, commercialism are there for you to covet. Covet things. Ditch them. Be satisfied. God has provided. When these fundamental laws are abandoned, the community suffers. Daniel says, and he has confirmed his word which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us by bringing upon us a great disaster, for under the whole heaven such has never been done, or what has been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. There's a tendency to ignore the judgment of God, but the balance between mercy and judgment is seen in the history of Jerusalem. If more mercy results in more evil, judgment has to come. So Jerusalem was devastated and needed to be rebuilt. Then 500 years later, they crucified the Son of God and they were destroyed in AD 70. So your nightly assignment, people, is vital before you shut your eyes. Vital. Every night, before you shut your eyes, thank God for something. Go over the day. Because otherwise you'll take it for granted. Then no. Thank you, Lord, for that. Repent of something. Because otherwise you will shut your eyes and not repent. Put your request before God. Just one request for tomorrow. And then, because you want a real relationship with him, ask him, Father, is there anything I can do for you tomorrow? You will love it. You will love it. You will love that. And say, yes, yeah. I'm going to lead you to someone and I just want you to drop one word for me. Just say, okay, I'll pray for you. Or just pray for them without a warning. Just pray. The judges in Judah brought on the disaster in Australia. We have condoned crimes with even murderers going free after a few years. Read the punishments in the beginning of the Bible and see that God approves of corporal and capital punishment to prevent people from reoffending and protect the innocent. Watch the news. See, community violence is increasing. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord. Ooh. Back one. Yes. That we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name as it is this day. We have sinned. We have done wickedly. You know, in Leviticus 26, God promises blessing to Israel if they obey him. They will have rain. They will have peace. They will have victory. They will be fruitful. And they will know that they belong to him. That's the blessing. But if they disobey him, he promises terror, defeat. Their pride will be broken. Wild beasts will kill their children. They will lose battles. They will eat their children. Desolation will come to the land. This is the balance that God has. If you obey me, there is blessing. If you disobey me, cop it. However, if they confess their iniquity and humble their hearts, then he will remember his covenant with Jacob and we come back. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow. That is the word of God we stand on. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our father. Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. So often we refuse to see the anger of God. So often we refuse to see the anger of God. People, this is a real relationship, a real relationship. You see the heart of God. A real relationship. You have people who are acquaintances, who are friends, but you would only have just a very small handful who would see your heart. Who you can say, this is my heart. I'm feeling battered. I'm feeling vulnerable. I can't share this thing with other people. It is huge. And you will see their anger and their suffering and their tears. Daniel's plea for forgiveness would be so weak if he hadn't seen God's anger. It was in Darius' reign that Daniel was sent to the lion's den, remember, as a prophet of God, as a servant of God. He was sent to the lion's den for being faithful. An angel comes and rescues him. My God sent his angel. Wow, imagine, that experience would have just been incredible. You know, you've gone through the agony of just knowing I'm going to the lion's den, I'm going to the lion's den, okay Lord, this is the end, this is the end, I'm going to the lion's den, I'm thrown down at the lion's den, okay, any minute now, any minute now, any minute now, how come they're not coming? Who are you? The angel. You're kidding. No, I'm not kidding, shut up and just listen. Okay, they're not going to eat you. Lion, shut your mouth.
Wow, this is a man of God. My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lion's mouth so that they would not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. It's been smashed. O my God, incline your ear and hear, open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. There is nothing in us, nothing in us that is worthy of the mercy of God. And Daniel comes to God fully aware of his unworthiness and pleads on the ground that God is merciful. That's why we must be anchored in the scriptures. And if you're stupid like me, you need to read these things 10,000 times to see it, to get it to deepen in, because you can know the love of God there. And it's the same thing, isn't it? When you are 5 years old and it deepens and deepens and deepens and deepens and deepens and deepens by experience. And tie it with our sinful life so that the prayer is real. Last night we had, as Robin shared with you, the celebration of the family of 50 years of marriage. And I was thinking about it. I was thinking how in the 70s there, Lethe was born March 74, she died March 77. And that type of grief is so huge. It is just kind of infinitely huge. And God in our lives kind of had a chop in 82, 83. In 82, we bought
property in Helena Valley. And all of a sudden life changed. Life changed because I had to learn how to milk a cow, how to kill a sheep, how to kill chooks, plant veggie gardens, do all this stuff, thing, put down a boar, all of that. And in 83, Swan started. And life changed for him. At Christchurch, I was in charge of computing, just an 8K computer. At Swan, it was just, well, when we started the first day, we didn't have a school, and we didn't have a name for the school. So people at Christchurch said, so where are you going? Well, we haven't actually got a name. So where is the school? We haven't actually got a place yet. And so when they didn't even have a place, we had to go off on a camp. And Michelle was one of the little girls there. Imagine that, that's how long ago. She was a year 8. Yeah, good old Michelle. But God did this chop in my life. 82, 83, so it was like I was so busy with all this stuff that it helped me cope with the grief of losing someone so precious. God is a righteous and a wonderful God. And he says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You come before God aware of your sin, but the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We build on this rock. You know, I rejoice in the judgment of God, because as the judge of all creation, I am steeped in sin. But when God opens the books, he says, "Ah, oh no, your sins have been paid for." What? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sins. Yep, he's in the family, he goes to heaven. This is the judge. Anybody going to argue? No, he's the judge of all creation. That is the judgment of God on me. That is the judgment of God on you. Isn't that just amazing? Because all Satan's fellows there would say, but, no. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. This guy belongs in the family. God, that is the judge. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, but it didn't fall, for it was founded on the rock. People, you have to build your lives on the rock. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit. We have to learn to listen to the Spirit of God. Say, Lord, what do? Listen and obey. And eat the Word of God so that you know the heart of God. As a young person, Isaiah through to Malachi, I couldn't get into the prophets until God showed me that it was the heart of God, that God was opening his heart. Just like you do with that special friend, you say, this is where I'm at. You want to know where I'm at? This is where I'm at. God opens his heart so you know the heart of God. That is just priceless. That is just priceless. The God of all creation opens his heart for you. And you build on the rock. For I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Rains descended. Yes, there will be hard times. And the floods come. Yes, there will be hard times. And the winds blew. Yes, there will be hard times. And beat on the house. Yes, there will be hard times. But you stand on the rock. You stand on the rock. You stand on the rock of Jesus Christ. Daniel finishes with, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God. For your city and your people are called by your name. We need to pray for Australia, for WA, for the Hills, for Darlington Christian Fellowship. Who else will cry out for this land if we keep silent? We need to pray for this land. Let's pray. In just a time of silence, if God brings to your mind something to thank him for, thank him for it now. If God brings to your mind something you should repent of it now. If you have a request, bring it and put it in the lap of the Father. Boldly approach the throne. Then ask the Father, is there anything that he wants you to do today, tomorrow, this week? Is there some special request, something that he wants of you? Oh Lord, we pray for you to search us. We pray that we will be a people who open our hearts to you so that you know our hearts. We pray that you know our thoughts. We pray if there is wickedness in us, any wicked way, that you cleanse us from every sin so that we are free. We thank you that Satan cannot bind us, cannot put us in bondage, because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And Lord, revival comes from you. And we ask for a revival. A revival in Darlington, a revival in Perth, a revival in Australia. We want this land to light up for you. And Lord, we want that work to start in us. We want a revival. We want to refresh that relationship with you. Your word declares that you will supply our need. And what we need is the wherewithal to bring this revival. We want your light to so shine in us that people see it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, I pray." I can do this, Rob, unless you want to do it. But I can do it. If you switch me back on. I'll do it. Yep, okay. Oh. Shall I do it or you do it? You'll do it. Okay. Yes, Lord. Revival starts in us. And Lord, we want this week to be a week anointed by your Holy Spirit. Every conversation we have with strangers, with family, with neighbours, with whoever, Lord, we want it anointed by you. We want an alertness to speak out the word of the living God. And Lord, the rains come, and the floods come, and the winds come, and there are batterings. We want to stand on the rock of Jesus Christ. You have our life planned exactly, precisely, and we want to live it out for you. This week, Lord God, I pray for the anointing of your Spirit on each of us, that we walk with you, walk well with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, people.